Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Grace is a lot like water. The more it flows, the more life and growth flows out of it. This is what we're going to learn in our last section in Philippians as we finish up this letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church family, right? And today we're going to be dealing with kind of the outward effect, all of the different things that we've learned in this last section about how Paul talks about being content, having your contentment in Jesus. And this is kind of what we've looked at over the last couple of weeks. We've learned, first of all, that our source of contentment is critical in maintaining contentment. That if you are going to be content and if you're going to be maintaining that contentment, what you find contentment in is critical. The source is the key. This is why we've learned that things of this world cannot maintain contentment that we need. It cannot keep us satisfied. They were never designed to be that way, and they don't have that capacity to maintain our contentment, right? We did see that Jesus, when Jesus is the source of our contentment, when we look to Him for the source of contentment, we discover that He is totally, no problem, capable of being a fully sufficient source of contentment in our lives, right? Because He is what He claims to be. He is our shepherd, our guide, our sustainer, our conduit of grace. And so what happens is the more we pursue Jesus, the more we look to Him as our source of contentment, some amazing things happen. One of the first things that happen is that outflow of contentment. The outflow of contentment, when we find contentment in Jesus, it starts to produce joy in our heart. Joy starts to flow abundantly in our heart. And then we learn that as that joy flows in our hearts and wells up into our heart, it bursts out into our life as a desire to give ourselves to Jesus, right? Man, Jesus, You are so good to me. I am so thankful for how good and gracious You are to me. That joy fills up and overflows into our life in our giving of ourselves to Jesus in the way that He gave Himself to us, right? That is the outflow of contentment. That desire to give to Jesus spreads into, we give to Him by giving to those around us, right? We live our lives for Him by living for those around us. As we give our time, we give our energy, we give our possessions, those things to those around us. And here's the interesting thing. The flow of grace does not just end at our act of giving to those around us. It keeps flowing, and this is what we're going to look at today. Let's look at our passage today, Philippians 4, and we're going to look at 16 through 23, but we're going to start out real quick at verse 16. It says, "For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." Paul is reminding the church, man, you guys have given to me, and it's been amazing how much you have given for me and cared for me. And he says in verse 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Verse 18, it says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." When you give yourself to God by giving to others, that flow of grace, that stream of grace doesn't stop with your act of giving. And Paul, this is where Paul, you know, Paul has been reminding him over and over about how they have been given to him, right? How they have given to him. And sometimes it's easy for us to think, well, man, Paul's saying, man, you guys have given to me a lot. Maybe he's like using this as like a little hint, you know, hey, man, you give me, praise the Lord, thank you so much for your gift and keep it coming, baby, you know, that kind of thing, you know. Is that what Paul's doing here a little bit? You know, it's like, man, you guys have been so good. Praise Jesus, you know, keep it going, you know, that's great. No, because they're like, just literally in verse 18, Paul says, I have awe. I'm abounding right now. I'm full. You know, this is where Paul is describing his, you know, I know how to abound, and I know how to not have much. This is his abounding. Of course, he's in prison, but all his needs are met, and he's fully taken care of, right? That joy of having somebody care for him, that knowing that other people are praying for him and thinking about him. The church family is growing, and he's hearing good things. He's just full of God's encouragement. He's full right now. He's totally happy in how God has cared for him. That's not the reason he's reminding them of their giving. He has something more important that he wants to share with them, and that's this. He wants them to see the value of their giving. He wants them to see how incredibly important it is that they give and that they continue to give. Not just for him, but he wants them to see how much their gift flows out to just beyond him. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to underestimate the value of your giving to those around you. Because it's easy to think that our part in the grace of giving starts and ends in the gift. In other words, you give yourself, you give your money, you give your time, you give your energy, you give your spiritual gifts, and you give those things, and God may bless you for giving those things, but the flow is sometimes we only see that one stream of flow where it affects the person that directly that we're giving to, right? We see the gift of grace flowing in us, then we see it flowing out to us, to the person that we're giving the gift, to the person that we're sharing our time, to the person that we're giving our energy or our spiritual gifts, right? We see that flow, but it's only one stream that we see. The reality is that giving isn't just one stream. It branches out into all different kinds of streams. And sometimes we're not aware of those streams, and we forget about those streams, and we only focus on that one stream, the stream that you and I can see with our eyes as we give something and they respond in thankfulness and graciousness to the gift that we have given them, without realizing that giving is going so much further than our eyes can see. And so Paul is reminding them, and today we're going to look using this last section where he's giving his greetings and closing out the letter to see all of the different ways you and your giving are flowing that stream, those all kinds of streams of grace. In this last section, I see at least 5 different streams of grace that flow from the giving of the Philippian church family. We're going to look at them. Here's the first stream of grace. Besides the part where Paul gets, okay? So there's actually technically 6, but we're going to look at 5 other ones, okay? The first stream of grace that flows out of your giving is fruit that is invested in your future in heaven. The first stream of grace is fruit that is invested in your future in heaven. Verse 17 says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Paul is pointing out something that is so easy to lose sight of. This is, you know, as your pastor, this is one of my great desires, and that's this. I want us to see our physical life here on earth with an eternal perspective. I want you to see your life. That's my desire, is for you to see your life right now and look at it from the perspective of having been in heaven, looking back and say, this is how I wanted to live my life. That eternal perspective, a heavenly perspective of your earthly life. If you could have that, it would change, it would radically change how you and I live life. The more we grasp life now from the perspective of future life, right? What if you could, you know, we always say hindsight is 20/20, right? Thankfully, not the year 2020, but hindsight in the vision is 2020. We look back on things and we think, oh man, I could have done this better. Oh, I could have done that better, right? In some perspective, I think that's going to be the same for us in heaven. We're going to be in heaven looking back and say, oh man, I could have done this better. Oh, I could have done that better, right? But what if we could, at least to some small extent, have that mindset of imagining ourselves being in heaven and looking back on earth and say, from the things that scripture tells me about what it's going to be like in my future life, my eternal living, what if I could look back on that, like look ahead to look back, I guess is what I'm trying to say, right? If I could look ahead to look back, what would my future self tell me, my current self, do this better, spend your time on this, spend your time on that, use your energy for these things, because these things are going to last a whole lot longer. You know, don't we have those kinds of contexts where, like, you know, people who have been where we are say, hey, this is what you should have done. Especially like, you know, with our kids, we tell our kids, hey, man, invest in your future. You know, I told, you know, that's one of the things I told my kids, and my kids are starting to pick it up a little bit, you know. Hey, invest in your future. Man, take some of the time that you would spend on stupid things and spend them on really, really wise things. Invest in your future. And this is literally what Jesus tells us to do. Listen to what he says in Matthew 6, 19. He says this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He says in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Jesus isn't telling us not to lay up treasure. He's telling us to lay up treasure. He's commanding us. He's, man, guys, listen. Don't spend your money on stupid stuff. Put it in things that last. And the things that last are heavenly things, eternally lasting things. This is where you put your things where it has more value. This is Jesus saying, invest in your future. How Paul describes verse 17 is very much this investing aspect. Would you mind to go back to verse 17 real quick? I know that's not on my list, but go ahead and go back to it real quick. It says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He's talking in financial terms. This fruit that may abound is describing something that produces fruit more. It grows more. It produces more interest. So what Paul is saying is, let your life produce fruit that grows spiritual dividends. This is one of the streams of grace. As you give, give towards your future. Let your giving become an investment in your future. That's what happens when you give to others. One of the streams, the first stream of grace that flows from your giving is that it flows ahead of you. It flows into your future. That's the first stream. A second stream of grace that flows out of your giving is that it flows directly to your Heavenly Father as a gift given directly to Him. Verse 18 says this, I have all and abound, I am full. Paul is describing the fact that their gift to him was fully sufficient. It was awesome. It was great. It was amazing, right? Having received out of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. But then he changes the receiver of the gift in this context. He says, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable and well-pleasing to God. In our journey group, we're studying, we're right through a Leviticus right now, where they're talking about the sacrifices that the people give to their Heavenly Father, give to God, right? And the sacrifices were a way in which they could, and some aspects were sin offerings and these kinds of things, but some aspects of these sacrifices were sacrifices of thankfulness to their Heavenly Father. This is a little bit of what he's talking about here. You're giving to me was a stream of grace that flows directly to God. They're gifts that are given directly to God. And it's interesting, the description. We see this a lot. And a sacrifice that has a sweet smell that is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And I thought this was really interesting because as we were looking through this, I was struck by something of what it must have been like to walk by the Jerusalem temple. Have you ever thought about what it must have smelled like? Have you ever walked by a yakiniku restaurant? Have you ever walked by a yakiniku restaurant and man, that smell just like hit you? And it is a good, good, godly smell, right? I mean, like it just smells. I mean, you could get full just smelling all of the yakiniku smells, right? This is literally what walking by the temple must have smelled like, right? Yaki beef, yaki bird, and yaki lamb. All these things are being offered up to God, and it must have smelled amazing. I don't know how the priests were able to work like that, you know, being able to just not stay, like, you know, just work and like, man, this smells so good. Oh, man, I'm so hungry, right? This is kind of the context of what it must have been like. And so this giving is sweet smelling. It smells so good to your Heavenly Father. It's a direct sacrifice to Him. But how do we know this? How do we know that our giving to others is what Paul claims? Well, we know this because of what Jesus said in Matthew 25. If anybody knows about what is a gift given directly to God, it's Jesus. He says this, "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, you came to Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee, and hungered, and fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came to see Thee?" We haven't done any of those things. I have no recollection of seeing you in prison, O King. The King answers and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, My brethren, you have done it unto Me." Our giving to those around us, our giving, sacrificing for our brothers and sisters in Christ, is a direct gift to our Lord. It is a sacrifice, a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Your giving to others is a direct offering to your Heavenly Father. You give to Him by giving to others. You serve Him by serving others. It is a stream of grace that flows directly to your Heavenly Father. Isn't that cool? Isn't that just amazing? Like, you get to give to God, like, directly. You know, sometimes we go back to the Old Testament. Man, I wish I could just sacrifice to God. You can. You can. The third way your gift flows is that it flows back to you through God's provision for you. It flows back to you. Did you know that water does not... Oh, this is going to be really interesting. Do you know that water doesn't just flow down? Did you know that water actually flows up? Like, Steve, you've lost your mind. It does. Water flows up by evaporating into clouds, which replenish the sources of water from which they flowed out of. Have you thought about that? Water flows down, but it also flows up to the clouds where showers of blessing. Wow, what a coincidence that we sang that song. Wow, it was almost as if it were planned. Did you know that moving water, and here's a really interesting thing, moving water evaporates faster than still water. Moving water that flows, evaporates faster than still water. And the same thing happens with grace that flows through us. Moving grace evaporates faster than still grace. Wow, what an amazing thought, right? God, the stream of water flows up and back towards you as it replenishes the grace that you have flowed out of your life to restore your grace. This is what verse 19 is talking about. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As you give to others, God replenishes his grace in your life. This is how God continues the flow of grace in your life. And it is important, though, to understand, to recognize how this verse fits into the context of my life by looking at it in the context of this passage. He's not saying, if you take this verse by itself, it looks like God's just going to take care of you regardless of how you live your life. He's just going to take care of your needs, right? This is in the context of the flow of grace. You guys have given so much. And out of that response to how you have cared for me, and that out of that response of God's sacrifice, that of the sacrifice to God that you have given to him, he is going to make sure that your grace is fully met. He's going to let the water of grace flow back into your life. It's a response of God's flow of grace to you as you give to others. You let grace flow out of you first, and God will let grace flow into you. It's all about trusting Jesus. It isn't God shoves so much grace into your life that it just like, you know, bursts out. You create the vacuum by giving out grace, and grace has some place to go. This is the context of what God is talking about. This is literally what Jesus says in Luke 6:38. Look at what he says. He says, Luke 6:38. Do I have Luke 6:38? There I do. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Not, it shall be given unto you, then give. See the flow there? Give, and it shall be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all shall it be measured to you again. Boy, I tell you what, if this isn't a good measurement of a flow of grace, did you know that you control the flow of grace in your life? You adjust the grace of the flow of grace. In other words, when you start turning the grace of flow blast so it flows out of your life, then the water of God's grace flows into your life at that same proportion, according to what this is saying, right? Isn't that amazing? Boy, I tell you what, man, this is, I keep thinking about the treasure principle that there's a book called The Treasure Principle, and we kind of preached a series through that. Man, I tell you what, that was a very eye-opening context of how to live life, and it's definitely worth listening to if you have a chance. That's the third stream. Grace flows back to you. There's a fourth stream. I got to hurry because I'm running out of time. The fourth stream of grace that flows out of your giving is actually found in the greetings that Paul gives to the Philippian church family. This is really interesting because he's closing out his letter, right? But he's saying the greetings. In verse 21 and 22, it says this: salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Say hi to everybody. Greet them for me. The brethren which are with me greet you. Probably the guys who were with him there in the prison. All the saints salute you, chiefly, especially, they that are of Caesar's household. And Paul mentions this in a very interesting way. He says, everybody says hi, because there is a Roman church day there, right? There's a church family there in Rome. He says, everybody says hi, but these guys, they that are of Caesar's household, they really want to say hi. First of all, what does he mean by Caesar's household? Could it be that Caesar? Like the emperor of Rome, Caesar? His household? Sure. Why not? And here's why we can kind of know this. The people who are guarding Paul, the guards that were guarding Paul there in Rome, were literally the personal bodyguards of Caesar and his family, and of the people in his palace. They were the bodyguards of the household of Caesar. And guess what they were doing for hours and hours and hours on end? Being right next to Paul. You know, Paul took advantage of that and shared the gospel with as many soldiers and as many guards as he possibly could. Those bodyguards had consistent gospel sharing and consistent seeing what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Why would not some of those have trusted Christ? Why would not some of those men have trusted in Jesus and then shared that gospel with their family, those in the palace? I'm sure that it happened because of what Paul's saying here. They that are of Caesar's household, these guys greet you. They want to say hi. They're saluting you. This is really interesting because here's, and the way he says this is interesting because Paul wants them to see that their giving, this is interesting, their giving had flowed into the lives of these new believers. Their giving was one of the reasons that these believers found Jesus, that they had life. Their care for Paul, all throughout the ministry of Paul, their care for Paul enabled him to share the gospel to many people who found life in Jesus. Their giving didn't stop flowing at Paul. It kept flowing through Paul and into the lives of others. It flowed to give them life. And that is exactly what your giving does. Last week and the week before, we gave to Ozuno Sensei, right? Your giving does not stop at Ozuno Sensei. It keeps flowing through Ozuno Sensei. One day in heaven, you may be greeted by somebody who was saved because of your giving, who you have no idea who it is. You give now to find those like little bursts of joy in heaven. Oh, you were Akigawa Baptist Church. Oh, wow. Yeah. Ozuno Sensei. Yeah, that was my pastor. He helped me to find Jesus. I'm here because you cared for him. This is literally an aspect of grace that we cannot forget. Our grace, our giving flows into not just the people that we give, but it flows through them to help others find life. The fifth stream of grace we find in verse 20, it says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." As you give and serve and love others, people see the outward change that reveals the inward change in your heart. Because Jesus gives you contentment in Him, right? This contentment is unique. It's different. The joy that comes from being content in Jesus, even when everything around you is going downhill, you still have joy, you still have contentment, and you still have this desire to give. Oh, I can't wait. It's so fun to give. I have so much joy in giving to others. How can that person have so much joy in giving up his whole weekend to help somebody he doesn't even know? How can that person find so much joy in giving up his finances in that way? Why can that person have that so much joy in giving of himself so freely to others? Your giving becomes a flow of grace that God uses to draw them to search for the one who can satisfy their thirst, to draw them to the water of life, Jesus Christ. Your giving is incredibly, incredibly valuable. It's incredibly powerful. It is not just one stream of grace that flows from you giving of yourself to your brother or sister to your neighbor. It flows in so many ways that you have no idea. It's just amazing. It flows to your future. It flows to your Heavenly Father as a direct sacrifice to Him. It flows back to you as God's abundant replenishing of grace in your life. It flows through the people you give to help others find life in Jesus. It flows in a way that glorifies your Heavenly Father, those around you. And those are just five ways. There's so many other ways that we haven't even started to mention yet. You giving yourself is an amazing way in which your life can flow God's grace, do amazing things. Paul's prayer for the Philippian church family is my prayer for our church family in verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What would it be like for our lives to be so, like our faucets turned full blast? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Our faucets turned full blast so that the grace of God just flows through us like nobody's business. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? That's my prayer for us. Because if we do that, we look at our current, our today, from our eternal perspective, looking back, I want my life to be a conduit, a pipe that is bursting through with grace. Let that be your life. You'll look back from heaven and say, man, am I glad I lived my life like that. Because that was worth living in that way. That's my desire for me. And that's my desire for you as well. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Let it flow through us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for how good you have been to us and teaching us so much from this letter. What a way to close it out, to remind us to have an eternal perspective, to remind us to live with our future in mind, to remind us that we can sacrifice directly to you, we give to you through our giving. How important giving is, how valuable it is. Help us to see its value and help us to live in light of that value. Help us to give our time, give our money, give our energy, give those skills that you have allowed us to have, give the spiritual gifts that you have given to us through your Spirit. In all of these ways and others, help us to be a conduit of grace that flows at a high rate of flow. Thank you for showing us this. Now help us to live it out in our lives, please. In this name, amen.